It's good to have everyone here tonight. Praise the Lord. Those of you watching online, we thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the service tonight. We believe that you would receive where you are, that God can move in your life right where you are. Let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to read a couple of verses that the Apostle Peter had penned in his letter in verse 16, and I'm going to read down through verse 20, but in particular, I want to look at verse 19 tonight. And so I want to give you just the context here. It says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, and which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit." And so we have to recognize then that Peter is here recounting an experience that he had on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. He and James and John went with him up to on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus was transfigured right there in front of them, brilliant glory of God. The whole place was lit up, and he was standing there talking to Moses and Elijah. What an experience. Isn't that incredible? How many of you would say, me too? And, Peter said this. He was recounting that experience. And then he said in verse 19, and he said, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." Now, the New King James is a little bit blind on that. Let's look at a couple of other translations in verse 19. In the King James Version says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. The Greek word for sure, more sure, is stable. It means stable, more stable word of prophecy. Where you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. The Lexham English Bible says it this way: we possess a more reliable, we possess as more reliable the prophetic word to which you do well if you pay attention to it. In other words, he said, we have a more reliable word than the word that he heard on the words that he heard the Father speak on the Mount of Transfiguration. Weymouth New Testament says it this way: in the written word of prophecy, we have something more permanent. Isn't that something? To which you do well to pay attention. And so we're talking about the written word of God that we have today. In Peter's day, he was referring to that which had been penned by the prophets, written down, and they had it there to refer to. He said that's more sure than the voice he heard out of heaven. Isn't that something? More solid, more stable. This is a tremendous revelation tonight, if you can get a hold of it tonight. That whatever your experience is, the word is more. You see, today we have, tremendous. You hear people having this experience and that experience, and I believe that our Christianity ought to lead us into certain experiences in line with the word. Isn't that right? A Christianity without an experience is, I think, perhaps. Something not lived. It's not real. It's just religion. And so Peter said he had a more sure word than God's voice that he heard audibly, more sure than the glory that he saw. Today, I just want to tell you that people are seeking experiences. Many are seeking an experience with God. They want a vision where they see Jesus or an angel. They want to see, to get a vision or a dream from God so they can have some direction or something like that. They want to operate in the power of God. All of those things, how many of you know those are all good things? And hallelujah if they happen. Isn't that right? Yet those same people, many of those same people are up and down. Up and down, up one day and down another. Because they're seeking experiences rather than looking to that which is more sure. And so we have to learn how to base our life on the sure word of God and not on an experience. Let me give you this for example. In 2011, my youngest brother passed away from cancer. And it was a rather traumatic experience for me in that we were praying and believing, of course, that he's healed in Jesus' name. And he passed away, and it took me a number of months to process all of that, and I was pastoring at the time. My people were really good to me in that they didn't pester me all the time about it, and I didn't talk to them about it, but you know, the thing that I came out of it was this, that God is still the same. Number two, God still loves us. And number three, his word is still the same. His promises are still true. It doesn't matter what my experience was. It didn't change God, and it didn't change his word, and it didn't change his love for me. Now, the challenge is this. There are a lot of people that rewrite their theology based upon their experience. And I could have. I said, well, evidently, I need to take out this idea that God's will for healing is for everybody since my brother wasn't healed. I could have done that, but you know, it wouldn't have changed the word. It would have just simply changed what I believed. And so my experience, how many of you know experiences, if we're not careful, can lead us to believe certain things? I had an experience years ago when I was in elementary school. I think it was like first or second grade, and the teacher was not as skilled as some teachers today, and so she wanted everybody to come and while she played the piano and sing a song, and I honestly didn't know how to speak English until I got in the first grade, really didn't, and so here I am. I don't know any songs except a little few words of a cowboy song that impressed me, and that was all I knew. So she said, Marvin, come up here. She brought each one. And so I went up, and so she said, what song do you want to sing? And I only know a song I knew of anything, of any song, was the cowboy song. So I said, the cowboy song. So she started playing, and after all, I didn't know. I didn't know. When do you jump in there? I didn't know. I didn't know anything. So finally she looked at me and she says, why aren't you singing? I don't know. I don't know how it starts. You came up here and you see. And so she proceeded to let me know what she thinks of that and sent me back to my seat in front of everybody, and I'm embarrassed, and it was an experience that really pushed me toward to believe that I couldn't sing. But I'd like to say in the presence of everybody tonight that Mrs. Goodall was wrong. I can sing. Maybe not the way you like it, but I can sing. Maybe not the way Mrs. Goodall likes it, but I can sing. Amen. See how an experience. And for years I let that experience. And I'd sweat bullets if I had to lead a song in church. Oh my goodness, that was the worst. Absolutely the worst. And so my experience led me to believe something for many years. And so I heard a story about a man told me this. He said back in the charismatic renewal a number of people were trying to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the area where they were at. And so one of them got it was like late at night, early morning hours. And he went around a certain curve on a certain road, and just as he was driving around there, somehow he made a connection, and he got baptized with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And so he related his experience, and so a number of people on a certain day drove out there at a certain time, driving around the curve, believing they'd have the same experience. You see, they based what they believed on their experience and not on a more sure word. How many of you know we got a more sure word than a curve in the road? Than what happens on a curve in the road? I can take you to the curve in the road where the Lord spoke to me about coming to Rhema, but that wouldn't work for most people. Most people is just glad you got around the curve. For me, I remember that place, okay? And so if we're going to move forward with God and receive His blessings, we have to learn how to base our life on the sure word of God and not on an experience. Now, my first point tonight is this, that God's word cannot be changed, nor does it need to be changed. And I'll explain both of those ideas here in just a moment. But 1 Peter 1:23, turn with me there. 1 Peter 1:23, are you with me tonight?
Amen.
Is this okay tonight? Would you like to have me do something different tonight? Okay. All right. I'm just checking with you. I wasn't going to do anything different even if you wanted it, but just wanted to let you have your opportunity. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word incorruptible has the idea in the Greek of indestructible. Indestructible. The Merriam-Webster dictionary says incorruptible is not subject to decay or dissolution. It's not possible for it to go away. Dictionary.com says incorruptible means will not dissolve, disintegrate, or decay. Another source says that it is undecaying. In other words, it's just not possible for it to ever go away. It's just here. It's permanent. There's nothing in this world that can drive it away. The French infidel Voltaire said within 100 years from now, Christianity will be extinct and the Bible will be no more. But the truth of the matter is we're still here and He's not. Okay? There are a lot of people throughout history have predicted the passing of the Word of God, but it's still here. It is still here. See, God's Word is not affected by the elements of this world. You understand that? In other words, it does not decay, it does not corrupt, it does not weaken, it doesn't become obsolete, it's not out of date. People can say what they want to. People can come against it. Things can come against it. You can destroy a Bible, but the Word remains. And so the Word is unchangeable. It is here. Say it's here. God sent His Word. And you see, you understand now when it says in Psalms, God sent His Word and healed them. It's not a passing word. It's a permanent word. It's a permanent word. It's here. Isn't that right? So God's word remains the same no matter what our circumstances are. In other words, God doesn't rewrite the word just because we had a certain experience. No, His word remains the same. God's word is not moved by anyone or anything that comes against it. It doesn't draw back. It doesn't go hide. The word is not moved by anything or anyone that comes against it. It is unchangeable. It is immutable. Some years ago when I was in seminary, they introduced a concept of God. They said that the word, they were trying to rewrite some things, ideas about God. They said God is immutable, and we agree with that. But that doesn't mean unchangeable. We don't look at that as unchangeable. That means that God is faithful. They said because God changes his mind, therefore God is not unchangeable. And I began to try to talk to them. I said, God saying one thing and then something else is simply because of the response of people to his word. And they said, well, that means then that God is not omniscient or does not know everything in the future because he would have known that and he would have said something different. Do you see how you get messed up when you try to reason things out? So they're saying that God is not immutable, he's not unchangeable, and number two, he's not omniscient, he doesn't know everything. And now we have some serious problems fitting the rest if I had those ideas, I'd hesitate to come to God in prayer. Because I don't know what he'd do. I'm not even sure if God would know what to do since he's not omniscient. How many of you ever had a tough problem you wondered if God really did know? You know, the thought came in your mind, I'm not sure, God, I know you handled the rest of it, but I don't know about this one. Anyway. But you see, now listen. God's word is immutable. It's unchangeable. God's word is always true. Therefore, it does not need to be changed. That's why it doesn't need to be changed. It's true. It's truth. It's not like the book that I saw some years ago. It was the title was The Only Investment Guide You'll Ever Need, completely updated. I just have to tell you, the word... The word does not need to be updated. It doesn't need to be revised. It doesn't need to be changed. It doesn't need to be rewritten. Isn't that right? God is not up there thinking, I think I need to add this. Maybe I ought to take that out. They're no longer using that. No. God's word doesn't change. Not one letter of it changes. So what does that mean? 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible, but incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. What does that mean? That means that the word of God, Peter gives the idea that the word is a seed. It is an incorruptible seed. It has within it the power to produce what it says. Just like a seed of corn has the power to produce corn. Any seed that you have, if it has life in it, has the ability to produce what it is. And the word has the ability to produce what it says. Its power is within it. It's inherent within it. It's latent there. It's there. Whether we tap into it or not, it's there. The power is in the word. His word is full of his power. So here's my second point then. My first point was this, that God's word cannot be changed, nor does it need to be changed. My second point is this, that God's word is always the same, no matter what your experience has been. It's always the same. Always the same. Always the same. Our experiences will vary from day to day, but the word of God remains the same. It is the unchangeable, absolute foundation, that anchor that we can have in our life. Winds may blow, of adversity may blow. Winds of doctrine come, fads come. People have this idea, people have that idea. But let me tell you, the word of God is always the same. It's always the same. It'll always do what it says. It may not do what somebody else says. If what they say is not lined up with the word. God is not obligated to do anything based on what I say unless I speak in line with his word. And then he has promised to respond. He always responds to his word. Always responds to his word. Now, sometimes we have this almost foreign to us to have something absolute. We like everything negotiable. We like everything to be renewable. We like everything convenient. We like it to be, to be able to move this or to rearrange that. You know what I'm saying? We like our options. We're Americans. Okay? And we like menus. I like menus. People like, that's why, I was talking to somebody the other day. If I go to a smorgasbord, it's not because I want to eat so much. It's because I like the choices. I like the choices. So the idea of something that's non-negotiable, absolute, something that we cannot change is almost foreign to our thinking. Yep, that's what the word is. The word is an unchangeable thing. Now, let me give you this. My wife and I are married. We were married in 1979, December 1. And there's some mornings, your feelings are different than other mornings. Now, we've already talked about this, okay? So it's all right with our two. Some mornings you feel married. Some morning you don't feel anything. Some mornings you just, Now, what if we based our marriage on how we feel? I don't know. I just don't think something's wrong. Are you sure we're married? I don't feel married this morning. And she'd be looking at me like, just stay right there. I'm going to get you some help. Do you understand? No. Our marriage is based on a piece of paper that says we are. It's a marriage license, marriage certificate that says we're married. It doesn't matter how I feel. We're still married. We're still functioning as husband and wife. Why? Because we're married. The paper says we're married. Not on how we feel. Some people, I don't know. Just something lacking in my marriage. I'm out. Well, okay. But if you learn to base your marriage on the fact that you are married, whether you feel like it or not, and you understand that your feelings will change sooner or later. Come on now, I'm talking real good tonight. How many of you drove here tonight? What gave you the, on what basis did you drive here tonight? Because you felt like it? Because you're just such a good, you just proved how good you could drive? Or maybe you slipped here and nobody knew it and you said, I've never driven before, but I'm going to try it tonight. Is that why you drove? No, you didn't drive based on your experience. You drove because you have a piece of a card that says you can. Isn't that right? If a policeman stops you, he doesn't ask you, are you a good driver? Are you a bad driver? Okay, if you're a good driver, I'll let you go on. Bad driver, huh? Well, I guess I'll have to give you a ticket. He doesn't do that, does he? No, what does he do? He asks for your driver's license. Why? Yes, that's the basis for you. See, how many of you have driven when you felt good? How many of you have driven when you didn't feel good? How many of you have driven when you felt excited? How many of you have driven when you felt sad? Glad. Joyful. Mad. Not going to answer that one. But nevertheless, we're allowed to drive based on the card, not on our feelings. Isn't that right? How many of you got a job? Somewhere in most cases, you got the job. There's a piece of paper that says you're an employee. It's based on that. I remember years ago, I woke up, got out to go into the factory, and I had my car, jumped in the car, nothing. And I'm living, I'm renting this little house next door to this older lady. She's in her 70s. And so I think she had the same car that she had, for a long time. It was, a 63 or 64 Chevy. And took real good care of it. And so she was the landlord. She owned the house that I was renting. And so I didn't know what else to do, and I wanted to get to work. and it's running late, you know. And so I go to the knock on her door, and she said, "What is it?" And I said, "My car won't start, and I need to get to work." She said, "Just a minute, I'll get my purse." And she jumped in the car, and I rode with her. I'm telling you, she gave me a ride I remember to this day. I mean, she took those corners faster than anybody I know. She wheeled me into the factory parking lot there and left me out. And I'm like walking out like this, but I'm there. Now, I don't feel like much of an employee because she didn't get me there in time. You know, so I'm a few minutes late. Second of all, the ride, you know, is less than what I had anticipated. I mean, it's more than I'd anticipated. I'm walking in there like that. And, you know, and everybody, want to go to my work because everybody's looking at me, you know. I didn't feel like a good employee, but I did a good day's work. But, you know, I didn't go to work because of the way I felt or what my experience was in getting there. I went to work based on the paper that says I got a job, I'm supposed to be there, so I'm going to be there. See, it didn't matter what my experience was, I'm still an employee. You see what I'm saying? So many times we as people, let me wrap this up a little bit. So many times we as people base too many things on our experiences rather than going to the Word of God. I'm talking about Christians now. I'm talking to the house of God. I'm talking about God's people, believers. I've heard some people say it this way. Well, so-and-so had this experience, so I believe in for the same. Well, my friend, listen to me. Why don't you go to the Word and let God give you an experience based on His Word? You can always believe for that. See, Smith Wigglesworth said it this way. He said, "I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God." And then he learned to have success out of that. And so my first point is this, that God's Word cannot be changed, nor does it need to be changed. And number two, God's Word is always the same, no matter what our experience has been. And number three, we need to put our faith in the sure, unchangeable Word of God. Some people's faith, I have to say this to you, is not real strong because they don't have much of the sure Word of God in them. In other words, they don't have much to stabilize them. Okay? Luke 6:45 says it this way, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." In other words, out of the abundance. Everybody say abundance. Abundance. You could say it this way, out of much in the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, you could say it this way, out of much word in your heart, you can operate in faith. Isn't that right? See, the thing is this, when you just have a little bit of the word in you, you see, a lot of times those kind of people don't know what they could have. They don't know what to believe. They're weak when it comes to being steady and trusting God. Amen. See, when you just have a little bit of the word. Now look at this. If I stand on this chair, and I'm not going to do it tonight because I'm a diehard Kansas City Chief and Brian Cumberland's a diehard that other team that they're playing tonight. But if he came over towards me while I'm standing on this chair, it wouldn't be much problem for him to move me around, shake me around, knock me over, knock me down, whatever. You understand what I mean? If I just have a little of the word, something little like this. But let's paint a different picture. Let's say I have much of the word in me. I have much of the word in me. And so here comes the adversary. Here comes the enemy. And he's telling me, he said, "I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down." Well, have at it. Have at it. Because you're going to have to move the word in order to move me. Because I got much word. Much word. Now, if Brian came over And he, you know, he said, I got him on that chair. But he comes over here and he starts pushing on the stage. How many of you know, I can stand here till the day Jesus comes. And he could be pushing. He could be pushing on it, and it wouldn't make any difference. It wouldn't make any difference at all. I wouldn't be moved. I wouldn't have to be blown about. I wouldn't be up one day and down another. You understand what I mean? So we need to put our faith in the sure, certain Word of God. The unchangeable Word of God. The point is, if I believe little of what the Word says, my faith can do little. If I believe much of what the Word says, my faith can do much. But my ability to believe the Word depends upon how much of the Word I have in me. If I don't put the Word in there, guess what? I'm only able to believe little. Is this too deep for anybody? I'll lighten it up if I have to. I'm just saying to you tonight, listen to me. The more Word you put in you, the more you'll be able to believe and the more your faith can do. You see, here's what John 15:7 says it this way. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will, what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Isn't that something? Amen. Say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm in him. Praise God, I'm in Christ. But now the next question is this. How much of the word abides in you? Pastor asked a question the other Wednesday night. He said this, if they took your Bible away, how much of the Word would you still have in you? You see, that's a good question, isn't it? Have you been busy putting the Word in you? Have you been pushing and pressing on to get the Word of God down inside of you so that when the storms of life come, you have an anchor. You have an anchor. You have a certain Word that takes care of you. You can put your faith in the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living Word of God, and you don't have to be moved. Isn't that right? Amen. Glory to God. See, that's what we need. The Word is inherently full of power at all times. At all times. There's never a time when the Word is weak. The Word is always full of power. It's there. Years ago, I was not baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I was interested in it. I was fascinated by people who were. I thought, man, this is really good. And so I began to talk to two guys about it, and they gave me scripture after scripture after scripture. And on the way home, driving home on a Saturday, well, Sunday morning, actually, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I've been at a truck stop talking to these guys and just asking questions for over 2 hours. So on the way home, here's what I did. I said, Father, I believe it's your will for me to be baptized with the Holy Spirit because you said the promise has been given to as many as are far off. I said, so Father, you said in your word that everyone, then in Luke chapter 13, verse 11, it says that you would give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. So tonight I'm asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, your word also says this, that in Matthew chapter 7, those who ask receive. So I'm asking tonight, and I believe I receive. So I thank you, Father. I've asked you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I receive. Now, I'm going to have to tell you this, that I didn't have any feelings at all. No, nothing happened. I'm driving my car. I have no feeling. Matter of fact, I feel dry as popcorn without butter. Pretty dry. But I wasn't going on feelings. I said, Your word says that those who ask receive. So, Father, I want to thank you that I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have nothing, no feelings whatsoever. I'm basing it on that scripture. Ask, you shall receive. It's impossible for me not to receive because I have asked. You said those who ask would receive. And so I thank you that I have received. I want to thank you. Praise you, Father. Thank you for it. Now, Father, Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, those who are baptized with the Holy Spirit speak in other tongues. I said, so since I am baptized with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter whether I'm feeling, it doesn't matter that I'm feeling dry as popcorn without butter. I said, but since I am baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Word says I am. I said, now, I said, I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to speak in tongues because the Word says I can. I said, I opened my mouth and out came some words that I didn't know anything about. Didn't sound too good. Didn't sound too smart. Certainly nothing intellectual about it. But on the other hand, I just believed, that the Holy Spirit was giving me utterance. After a while, I just continued to speak in tongues. I drove down the road, dry, felt dry as butter without popcorn without butter. After a while, I stopped and I said, Father, I want to thank you that I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. I thank you that I can speak in tongues anytime I want to. I said, matter of fact, I'm going to speak in tongues again. So I did it again. And after a while, I stopped. I said, Father, I want to thank you that I'm now baptized with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Went home, went to bed. Felt dry as popcorn without butter. Now, a couple of days later, my feelings caught up with me. And then the feelings changed. But you see, the Word brought me what it said. I just want you to get this. The Word is capable of bringing into your life what it says, if you'll believe it and speak it out of your mouth. Stand to your feet. Don't wait around for some special move of God. Start believing now. Put your faith in the Word. You already got enough power available to you right now for whatever it is you need. You need healing in your body. There's enough healing in the Word to heal everyone. You need finances. There's enough power in the Word to produce finances for you. Amen. You need safety. There's enough power in the Word to keep you safe. But the key is for you to tap into that power with your faith. I believe the Word. The Word. Say the Word.
The Word.
The incorruptible. Indestructible.
Ever living.
Word of God.
Word of God.
Works in my life. It is full of power to produce what it said. This week, I will go forth believing the Word, speaking the Word. I have a more sure Word, a certain Word, stable Word, permanent Word. Therefore, I base my faith on that Word. Now, Father, I thank you in advance. I'm going to have a great week. I thank you, Father God. This week, I will be successful because I'm basing my believing on your Word, my speaking on your Word. And I thank you that I have a solid foundation for everything that I'm doing. I thank you for enough power released into my life to do that which I need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Did you get something tonight? Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I'll tell you, if you get this revelation, it'll make it where you don't have to be moved. Isn't that right? Bad reports can come, but you don't have to be. If you believe the Word, you don't have to be afraid. You can believe. You can just keep on believing. Isn't that right? Amen. All right. Well, tonight we have people here. The ladies on the left. We got guys on the right. And or at least on your right, and so they're there they're not here. They're not there like they were in the church I grew up in. All the people at the front gave witness as to whether the preacher told the truth or not after he got done right there in front. They either agreed or disagreed. I'm serious. That's what they did. So these guys are not up here for that. They're here to help pray for you. They're here to help pray for you. And so ladies, if you need prayer, come to these ladies right here. Guys, if you need prayer, come to these guys right here. And we want to thank you. How many of you have received the word? How many of you are going to believe the word? How many of you are going to speak the word? How many of you are going to, how many of you are going to receive what the word says? Walk in the power of the word. Amen. Now, those of you that are first-time guests, Connection team members, if you would go find them, that would be a great thing to do right now. And go and get them that wonderful gift out there in the lobby to where you take them, and they'll be able to get that. That'll be a blessing to them. Let's give them a great big hand as the first-time guests go get their gifts. We're glad that you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. Shake hands with somebody now, if you would, and bless them and let them know that you believe the word, and the word is working mightily in you. Amen.